Today's daf is daf Chof Ches. We'll start once again and quickly to review the Mishnah on Chof Zayin Amud Beis. Zarka Elak Mishnah Nodrin Laharagim Lacharamim Lamochasim Shehi Truma Afapishay No Truma Shein Shal Beit HaMelech Afapishay Non Shal Beit HaMelech. Guy who's backed into a corner and he's under threat either by some murderer who's coming into his 7-Eleven or by somebody who just grabs things and runs, or by the IRS or customs. So he can swear, I mean, no self-respecting murderer would ever take something that's truma. So he can swear that it's truma, even though it isn't, or he can swear that it's government property, even if it isn't. Bechamayomrim bakol nodrin, you can make any kind of neder you want, kutz mishvu shvu. Ah, you can't make a shvua, because a shvua is chomer. Bechamayomrim af shvua. Furthermore, bechamayomrim lo yiftachlo b'neder. It's not you to just use a neder to say that you should get out of it. If the guy, you tell him it's truma. If the guy says, swear it's truma, okay, so then you could swear to him that it's truma, the neder that he tells you. Beit Hillel Omrim said, no, you can actually be the one to be yiftachlo. Beit Shammai Omrim, if he did tell you swear, then it's only, and he tells you specifically how to swear. If he doesn't tell you how to swear, so Rishonim say, even Beit Shammai is mona, just a swear. So then you can say, my wife should be also, my children should be also. Then that's fine. But if he tells you, say my wife should be aser, and then you add to it, so then the Beit Shammai says, that's no good. You can only swear b'mashuhu madiro. Beit Hillel omrim not b'mashinu madiro, which is the equivalent of being poter. Take so. Let's say the guy would say, emor, konim ishti nenegli, if that's not truma. And he says, konim ishti uvanai nenegli. So Beit Shammai omrim, the only part that's mutar over here is ishto mutar, because he wasn't responding to the guy's demand. Before we continue, ask the Gemara, what is that supposed to mean? The Rabbanan said you're allowed to swear to customs that something is government property and not pay customs? Well, how can you not pay customs? I thought Shmuel said that a government law is binding. And if the government says you pay customs, you pay customs. Omar of Chinina, Omar of Kahana, Omar Shmuel, what we're talking about over here is a moches she'in lo kitzvah. We're talking about paying customs that depends on the mood of the custom agent. That, now, we'll talk about this in a moment. There's some complexities here. Rabbi Yanai Omer, it's talking about the Mochesa Omeid Mehilav, it's talking about a guy set himself up with a little custom house for anybody who wants to pass the bridge or else. That's obviously not Dinan Amalchus Adina. That's just a glorified troll, exactly. So, the question is this. First, let's take a look at the issue of Dinah Malchus Adina. The Ron brings the pshat of Tosfos. But Dinah Malchus Adina means that since you are living in that country by virtue of the approval of the people in that country, it's not yours. Therefore, anything that they say is basically love it or leave it. So since we can tell you to leave, you're only there because you're accepting our rules of how to stay. Now, because of that, says the Tosfos, a very big Chiddush, that there's no din of Dinah Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael at all. Because no government in Eretz Yisrael can tell you to leave. There's no love and a limit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's Mokhez Ha'omid Me'elov and Chamsanim and Haragim. I mean, that's not. So now the question is. So now the question is, how does it help to say that it's a moches she'in lo kitzvah? What's the difference if it's yesho kitzvah or in lo kitzvah? He can take whatever he wants to, right? So there's two approaches to this issue. The Ran says, dina de malchuta dina is only a halacha where it's din. Din by definition implies a level of fairness and mishpat. Something that is ipso facto anti-din cannot possibly be included in Dinah Malchus Adina, because it isn't din. It's just arbitrary. The meaning of din is that it's not arbitrary. Tosfos doesn't like that there. Tosfos says, what's the difference? If the bottom line is that it's love it or leave it, so it's the same thing. You don't like an arbitrary country? Leave. So why can't we, what makes this a magical concept of din? Who said it's Dinah Malchus Adina is simply an easy way to refer to the halacha that if they're telling you something and they're making your continued presence in their country dependent on it, then you're stealing if you don't keep the rules. Therefore, Tosfos understands that the case over here is that this is not a din of the malchus, but rather it becomes a function of the personal moches. If it's dependent on somebody's mood, that's like Israeli customs. You never know what it's going to be. It depends what they have. You have absolutely no idea. Come here. And then you start arguing. You know, does he like you? He doesn't like you, and so on. So that's not the government anymore. That's the guy. Now the question, there's a deeper question over here, which is, are we talking about the government? Because remember that the way generally that Mephis worked is that the government sold the rights to tax collectors. They would pay a certain set amount to the government for the right. It's a concession. It's privatized tax collection, which is a great way to collect taxes. So now the government gets the money. They know what they're getting up front. It's really a very brilliant way to do things. They get the money up front, and now this guy can go break his head and get the taxes. But obviously, there's a little bit of leeway over there because he's in a position of a lot of power. So the question over here is that Dina de Malchus Adina, the way the Rush understands it, is that the Dina de Malchus Adina that sold the rights to the taxes is an actual purchase. So that if a Jew bought the right to collect the taxes, you can't steal from the Jew. He owns that right. But we're not addressing directly whether it is proper or improper to lie to the government. It's a separate issue. So that already has to do with Gezeilat Akum and so on and so forth. But we're not discussing that. We're talking about whether Jew bought it. So here it's the fact that he had a right to buy it. However, it's clear that if he buys it and abuses it, that's not included in the sale. Therefore, I'm not touching upon the Dina de Malchut, the Dina in abuse. Now, certainly the government doesn't want a free-for-all that people should be running around like a bunch of mafiosos collecting taxes. Right? So that's a given that wouldn't be like the rotson of the government.
Almost like a range of
If it's just arbitrary, so then it can go off the scale completely. Okay. Now, the important nekuda is coming in the Mishnah. You can swear Shein Shel Beit HaMelech V'Afal Pi She'Einan Shel Beit HaMelech. Heichi Nadar. How exactly did you make this neder? Now, what is our problem? Our problem is this, and this is a completely different approach than the other three cases of Nedarim that are Mutarim. You see, when you're talking about Nidrei Onasi, you're talking about something very different from Nidrei Havai, Nidrei Zeruzin, and Nidrei Shogunin. Because when you're talking about Nidrei Onasi, let's take a look at the logical difference. When you're talking about the Nidrei Zeruzin, where people are negotiating, I don't care whether that negotiation is to have Richie go shopping, and whether the negotiation is you're fighting over the price. So one says that was the case, one says two, one says four. Or whether you're trying to get a guy to eat by you, that's a level of interpersonal negotiations. The reason that over there the neder is not meant to be understood as a neder is because that's what the words mean in context. When somebody says, I'm not going to pay more than two, and the other guy says, I'm not going to accept less than four, what we hear is, I'm going to pay three. I'm going to accept three. That's what we hear, because that's what the words mean in that context. Yeah, it's exactly shuk talk. Same thing with Zeruzin. Same thing with Havai. When you say, oh man, it was a skyscraper, and I'm saying, oh, what does that mean, a skyscraper? It's just a way of talking. So if that's the case, the language itself is telling us what the neder means. Nothing. There is no neder. But in this case, there's nothing about the language per se that tells us that he's not honestly swearing that it's truma. He's saying that it's truma. He's swearing to Aser, his wife and kids, on him for Hanoah if it isn't truma. There's nothing about those words that indicate that he doesn't mean what he's saying. The only question is, there's something external, which is a context that doesn't change the language. It changes the motivation and what it is that he's thinking. But the question is, what he's thinking, that's an old problem of Dvarim Shebalev. And if we owe Dvarim Shebalev a non-Dvarim, so then that means that we cannot say, I was thinking that I didn't really mean it. I had my fingers crossed. I mean, how can you make a neder with your fingers crossed? What are you saying? Neder is a din in language. If the language means what you're saying, you cannot say that I meant something else. This is what you said exactly what you intended to say. And you meant exactly what you said. The only thing is, it was a lie, and you therefore felt it shouldn't be chal, because you don't really mean it. I mean, but you meant the words. They were just lies. Therefore, we need to come on over here to a special takana of nidre onasim, in which the Rabbanan say, in the event of an ones, we will see Dvarim Shebalev as being definitive of the correct meaning. Now, the Rabbanan obviously can't cancel a neder completely. What are they going to say? The most they could say is this. If the language remains vague, so it's up for grabs what exactly you meant, under the circumstances, we will recognize a unstated understanding of what the language meant. So that if you say, I asser the peirot of the world on myself, or I asser my wife and kids for having anna. Did you say for how long? No. I meant for the next hour. I meant today. But I meant something. It's just, it's an added pirish. I cannot contradict what I'm saying. They can't take away the halakha of Dvarim Shebalev. So, memela, in this case, we have to ask, heichi nadar? How exactly did you state the neder? Om rav amar mamarav, beyomer yeyasru perot olam alai, im einam shobek hamelach. So, it's like, Gemara, well, so then why won't that happen? Given domer yeyasru, I mean, the moment he says, I want it all to be osir, if it's not government property, it really will become osir. Itzeru alaya, alay kol peri alma. He asserted by saying that all of the perot on himself. Well, but he added hayom. He added hayom. So the guy's going to say, but it doesn't mean anything to me. Idi omer hayom, omer kavam inei moches. But the moches says, what are you playing games here? No. But omer belibo hayom. He says in his heart, I mean today. But he's motzi b'svatav stam. And he doesn't explain, he just says it. So apagav the svirlan dvarim shebalev einam dvarim. So even though normally we hold that we cannot accept a contradictory statement in your heart, but over here, Chazal say that since it's onasim, gabe onasim shayim, so we include the right to be mefarish your nether, as long as it's not a contradiction, we include that in the four nedarim, even though it's very, very different than the other three. The other three, the language teaches us that there's no nether, and over here we're accepting the intent to tell us that there is a nether, but that the nether is limited. Now, I mean, Tosis brings cases where the goyim already caught on to this. And they say, no, say it will be usher forever. And what do you do then? So this does as well. Then you say in your heart, it will be usher forever as long as you stand in front of me and scare the hell out of me. Something like that. But in other words, as long as it's not a contradiction. What happened to my bush tea this morning?
We're brewing.
It's brewing?
We're brewing.
You mean the guys who drink the coffee, they get everything right on the spot?
Right.
It takes time to brew, too.
It's done.
But it did it in advance on its own. We walked in here and it smelled beautiful.
We could probably even...
What, through the tea? I thought you were going to call me. I would meet you in a lot.
Any connection at all to this, to Perusha Mahaka? Normally you wouldn't say Perusha Mahaka, I meant Ayom. No, they're not.
No, there is the pirush of the word that I meant, the neder itself.
Right, not that he said.
Yeah, my seventh parent, that's what I mean by parent.
But
here he's not. Here I mean, all the words mean exactly what they were supposed to mean, and they're taken the way you meant them. I'm adding something which is belibi. So it's really another issue. Yes, but the problem is, see, this is, there isn't an anatzat. And indeed, the Ron uses the language.
Which overrides...
which makes it not Dvarim Shebalev. But the problem is, if we utilize Anan Sahade, why couldn't we say that Anan Sahade Shelo Amar Kein Ela? Why is the whole thing in Dvarim Shebalev? Why don't we say that the context is sufficiently powerful to contradict the language because it's not Dvarim Shebalev since everybody knows it? How do we limit this idea of Anan Sahade just to the difference between the vague language and its pirish? So in other words, it's not that the Anan Sahade contradicts the element of Dvarim Shebalev. The Anan Sahade only tells us what it is that we will accept when you say that that's what was meant. But it's insufficient to tell us that it isn't meant. So this is a very complex subject. What's more, it also touches upon another issue which bothers the Ron very much. which is what the din is when you make a stam neder, where you did not mafarish afterwards, and this is a completely different issue. You may make a mistake in a neder where your intent was to say one thing and you ended up saying another thing. That's called ein piv v'libo shavim. The question is, why is this not ein piv v'libo shavim? So, for instance, let's take a look on the Ran, because it's a very nice case that he brings over. He says like this, and this is like two lines up from one third of the way up from the bottom. Umihu nihi da'acha maskina to belav unsa liolam mashma. Even though our understanding of this sugya is that if you don't say anything else, the words would be taken to mean forever. I'm answering the perot forever, right? Even though you're thinking in your heart, afilo amar b'libo hayom, that's not going to help you. It's only helping you because of onis, the special takana. Normally we would not say that this is sufficient, right? So lo mahani. Nonetheless, says the Ran, mi shegamar b'libo lidor mipat chitin. A guy wants to aser wheat bread on himself. He's got a problem with gluten. And he goes ahead and he says bread. And he forgets to add the word chitin. So now he's asered all grains on himself, even without gluten. So in that case, we don't say kiva distoma ka'amar, and there's no onetz in this case, v'leka unsa. Why should we not say that he would be aser v'chol pot? Why don't we say that it's varm shebaleiv? And he can't say, well, in my heart, I only meant wheat. If you said more than that, you said more than that. And yet the din is over there that he's not us in all part. Why is that? You understand the contradiction. If here we're saying that it doesn't help him to say, if not for onus, it doesn't help him to say, well, my intent was only for today. And in that case, he can say, my intent was only for wheat. Why are they different? Seems to be exactly the same. And yet over there, without any onus at all, he can say, I never intended to aser all of bread on me. How do we explain that? Hainu taima, the reason for that difference, says the Ran, is mipnei shemitkaven lomar lashon shiyehe mashma'uto la'olam. What did the guy mean to say? In this case, he meant to say exactly what he did say. And he wanted to create the impression with these words that he means le'olam. So, I mean, if that's the case, then the stoma over here is his intent. His intent is for a word to mean le'olam. He now wants to put a pirish on that word that says, but don't accept the nominal intent. I mean, that's already dvarim shebaleiv. So, mishum alchi kol eicha d'leka lo'unsa, obviously the word will be mashma le'olam, mashma. Aval hatam, in that case, he made a mistake. Since his intent was always to say the word pat chitim, and what happened after he said the word pat, he stumbled or he forgot. So itkil milule, his words went bad. Now we have a problem in that making a neder, what you intended to say and what you did say need to be the same. A neder cannot be words that mean something that had no intent behind them. That's a different issue. That's not I'm giving a pirish to what I'm saying in my heart. That is, I made a mistake. I stumbled. That's not language. To make a mistake is not language. When you meant to say something else and you stumbled and made the wrong word, we're going to say, ah, but you said orphan, and you meant often, right? We're not going to say that. So therefore, we may say it's in piv libo shavim. And therefore, in DNO, because there, the words that you were saying had the intent of meaning only patritim. But you cannot say, in this case, that the words I am answering myself had the intent of meaning hayom. Because the words had the intent of fooling the guy into thinking forever. Therefore, it's not pivali bo enam shabim. Because we'd ask the guy, well, then say hayom if you mean hayom. So, no, I can't say hayom. Right? I want to say it this way because I want the guy to think forever. So what are you going to say? I made a mistake? You didn't make a mistake. You said exactly what you wanted to say. So it's very important for us to keep separately in our minds the din of ein piv v'libo shavim and not to say that is nogeh la'alocha advarim shebaleiv einam dvarim. Remember, the guy himself does have a right to explain what his neder is. Correct? That's what Ramati just brought up. I mean, Pirusham or Lakula. The guy says, this is what I meant. This is what I meant. He's coming to ask us, so what's the halacha? This is what I meant. We'll say, what do you mean? But what did you say? It's Dvarim Shebalei. What do you mean, what you meant? No, but I made a mistake. Oh, you made a mistake. And people leave Boshavdi. That's a different issue. So it's not a question of belief. It's a question of the nature of language here. Okay? So here we're allowing a pirish of what it is based on an anansahade that Chazal were koveya in terms of a pirish of the word. As long as it's left sufficiently vague for it to bear that pirish. Yes, Dafka Bayonzin. So this is extremely different. The four cases have three cases in which the language is the issue, one case in which the hidden meaning is the issue. It's very, very different. Continues the mission. Beit Shammai omrim bakol chutz b'mishvua. Beit Hillel omrim afilu b'shvua. Beit Shammai omrim b'mashu hu madiro. Beit Hillel omrim af b'sheinu madiro. Ketzal omer lo konim ishti nehenet li. Va'amar konim ishti uvanai nehenim li. Beit Shammai omrim ishto muteret. Beit Hillel omrim uvanav asrim. Beit Hillel omrim elo el muteret. Omer avuna, Tana, I take a look at the braita that says, Beit Shammai omrim, lo yiftach lo b'shvu'ah. Which is mashma only b'shvu'ah, which is certainly not like the Mishnah, right? Because here it says lo yiftach lo at all. Ubeit Hillel omrim, at yiftach lo b'shvu'ah. What is that supposed to mean? You're trying to tell me now, according to the braita, the Beit Shammai, that b'shvu'ah, who the lo yiftach lo? Only b'shvu'ah, but a neder you could say. And the only issue is, furthermore, not to be poteach b'shvu'ah. But if the guy told you to make a shvu'ah, you could make a shvu'ah. That's what it's saying. Furthermore, that... So now we're saying, Beneder Yiftachlo, first of all, that's wrong. Because if it's not in our mission, it says, Beit Shammai Omrim Lo Yiftachlo Beneder. Furthermore, the two. Miftachu De Lo Yiftachlo Bishwa. You're saying, don't start. You can only respond. Oh, but you can respond. But in the Mishnah, Beit Shammai says you can't even respond with the Shvua. What, you're saying, Hamida Neder Bishwa, if he forces you to? It's not, Beit Shammai Omrim Bakol Nodrin Chutzbi Bishwa, under the circumstances that we allow the Neder, which is only where the guy's going to start, he's going to be poteach, and nonetheless, he can't make a shvuah. So I explain this. Well, what we could say is that they're complementary halachas. The Mishnah and the Braita are not meant to be understood alone. We say the Mishnah, in the case of neder, to tell me, lodiach hakochon de Beit Shammai, that even a neder you cannot be poteach with. We say the Braita, b'shvu'ah, to tell us the din of Beit Hillel, that even a shvu'ah you can be poteach with, not only respond with. So notice we have both extremes between the Mishnah and the Braita, because otherwise we would have thought, well, maybe only, I can't make, maybe Beit Hillel, let's say you can be poteach with a neder, of course he wouldn't go so far as to say you can be poteach with a shvu'ah, can respond with a shvu'ah, and vice versa. So therefore we have both. This is our first approach. The other approach is, Ravash Yamar Hochitan. Beit Shammai Omrim, this, you misunderstand it, but the Braita is not referring to lo yiftach in the sense of opening over here. We're talking about making a petach for a shvua. It's not our Mishnah. You took the Braita, it's talking about something else, and you applied it to the Mishnah, thinking that it's referring to the petach of the Mishnah. It's referring to heter nedarim and heter shvuas. What it's saying is, you could be shoal on a neder, but you can't be shoal on a shvua, so there's no petach when it comes to a shvua. That's what it means. Nothing to do with our mission at all. And that's because Shvuah is more chamur, so we don't allow She'elah when it comes to Shvuahs. And Beit Hillel Omrim, yeah, She'elah b'Shvuah. That's the machlokas here, which is something that we spoke about earlier when we were talking about the Elokei Yisrael, as you remember. So, Enochinami, that's the machlokas that was referred to. It's in this point. This is a very weird Mishnah, which obviously we're going to have to understand the case in order for it to make any sense at all. A guy seems to be saying that if he does not harvest these nityot, then there should be a korban. Which means what? Never, ever? They're never harvested. If we leave them on a tree, then they're a korban? What does that mean? Furthermore, it's not clear. Does it mean it should be carbon, meaning usur bekonim? Or does it mean carbon literally, it should belong to the Beit HaMikdash? I mean, obviously, it can't be Kedushat HaGuf, it can't be Kedushat Damim, because you can't bring Peirot on the Mizbeach, but the value should be used for carbon, would be what he is saying. Or, you say, this talit should be a carbon, if it isn't burnt up. Why in the world should it be burnt up? And when? Like, when do we decide this? At the time that it's put into Sheinus, when we bury it, so it won't be burnt up. What does it mean, Bichlal? Yesh lahem pidyon. You can be poda them, which is also crazy. What is that? Are you trying to say that they're Kaddish? Say that they're Kaddish. Why do you say they have a pidyon? Harein etiyot elu korban. How about if you say, these things are a korban until the point at which they are harvested. Or this talit should be a korban until such point as it's burnt up. Also doesn't make any sense. Elam pidyon. In such a case, you cannot be poda them. Which means what? You cannot be poda them, but they are hegdish, or they're not hegdish, or therefore they don't need a pidyon. As you can see, boy, this Mishnah is a mess. Now, there's a question underlying the whole Mishnah, which is this. If we are referring to konin, which is generally what we refer to in this Masechta, we refer to nidrei hegdish, we refer to nidrei yis. What does pidyon have to do with anything? But the truth is that there is a machlokas, we're going to see later on, according to Rabbi Meir, when you say something is a korban, meaning that it's usur for everybody, so it's a klali neder, you're usuring something that you own on the whole world. At that point, if someone is nene from it, says Rabbi Meir, he's mo'el. Incredible. Because the dinim of nidrei isur are a direct application of dinim of hegdish. So for all intents and purposes, you are making it out of reach. You're saying it's like a carbon. And just like a carbon you would have been moil on, it would be moil on this. If you only asked something on yourself, then it's not similar to hegdish. So then you would not be moel. But if you can be moel, you can also be podek. Which is weird. So in other words, we give it all the dinim of hegdish. So now the question is, if in fact that is the intent of the Mishnah, it would seem, stand to reason to say that would be why we would be talking about pidyon or no pidyon, to make it clear that even though we're talking about nidrei yisur, there would be a concept of pidyon. Keep all of this in mind to get further confused with the Gemara's opening questions. Says the Gemara, why are we talking about pidyons? Lignei kiddushot. I understand. You want to say something is tofes. That a netter like this is tofes. Even though it's an awfully weird netter, we'll see why would I think it isn't tofes. We're going to ask what exactly were the circumstances. But whatever the chiddush is, huh? I mean, so tell me, this netter, I assume there's some chiddush, which we'll get to. Tell me this netter is chal. Why are you telling me something about pidyon? Says the Ran, well, I don't understand. If we're talking about Rabbi Meir, and it actually is referring to nidrei iser, isn't it a big chiddush to tell us yesh lan pidyon or ein lan pidyon? I mean, did you ever think there was pidyon in the Dorim? So why wouldn't the Tana want to use the word pidyon to teach us that? Says the Ran, because you cannot use the word if you haven't yet told me the halacha that is specific to this Mishnah, which is a din in the neder, not a din in pidyon. First tell me that the neder is chal. I mean, what a crazy place to decide to tell me the din of pidyon. And to come tell me Rabbi Meir. We've got this whole complex issue, which we've got to see what it is, about whether or not this is a neder. So now, just to make sure we don't understand what you're talking about, now is the place to tell me whether it has a pidyon or not? It's absurd. There's got to be something else that's involved over here. So why don't you just say kiddushot? Well, that's because I did a boy lemitne sefer ein lehem pidyon, tananami reisha yesh lehem pidyon. Now, what in the world the sefer means with ein lehem pidyon also, we have no idea. But we shall see that it's a big kiddush. And that, in fact, needed to be said. So therefore we use the same funny language in the Rashi. So now let's understand what exactly was the matter so that we could see what the Kiddush of this Mishnah is. Echi Nadar. Omra Mimar. He meant to say like this. I mean, obviously he can't be saying that these things, if they are Niktzatzot, I mean, ultimately they're Niktzatzot. I understand. They're not going to stay on the tree forever. Either they're going to fall off, they're going to take them off, or they're going to be Niktzatzot. What do you mean? He made non-Niktzatzot. There's no such thing he made non-Niktzatzot. What do you mean? Says Omra Mimar, what? No, he means im enaniksatzot hayom. If we don't get those fruit down today, and avar hayom velo niktzatzu, so that's what he's talking about. Then they should be kodesh. So I understand. So then that's a regular matter. You can normally lemeimer. What do I need the Mishnah to tell me that for? Pshit? Isn't that rather obvious? But the truth is, of course, that even as a casual reader, you noticed that there's an awful big difference between the case of a talit nisrefet. And a case of perot niktzatzot. Perot niktzatzot, the norm is that in nature they have to be niktzatzot. Either on their own, you're going to do it. A talit, to say nisrefet, is absurd. So therefore, the case must be broad enough to include the Talit Nisrefet. So therefore, we're clearly talking about, this is the way the Mishnah hints to us, that we're talking about particular circumstances. The particular circumstances clearly must be a fire has broken out. Oh my God! Oh my God! If that talis makes it through the fire, it should just be hegdish. Oh my God! Same thing has happened. A terrible storm has broken out. Every tree in the city is falling. Fruit are flying through windows. Because, oh my God! If these fruit make it through the storm and they're not nitzatzot, they should be a korban already. Right? So the guy's going bananas. So now, if that's the case, you might think that indeed it's like Nidre Shigaga. He never thought that it's going to make it. He's just saying, oh, it would be a miracle. Right? And it never occurred to him that it's actually going to happen. I mean, so it's like the same thing as we said before, a chalahu, chalabanai. This is not what I was intending. So that's the case. So therefore, says the Gemara like this, lo tzricha, kegon de ikazika da fisha, this big storm, the wind is blowing. And you look, take a look, you know, katana lagabi talit. It says the same thing by a talit. Is a talit meant to be sreifa? Talit is sreifa kaima? Obviously not. So therefore it's teaching you, take out that word in, because it makes much more sense to understand it not as a question, but as a proof. Is a talit there to be burned? I mean, obviously it's teaching you that we have a unique circumstance. A fire has broken out. That's the point. So it's talking about kegon de'ikad leika. Fire has broken out. This guy's favorite talis now is going to be burned. So therefore, obviously, there's special circumstances. In the other case, there was a gigantic tornado. So I would have thought, this is the Chiddush in the Mishnah, and now it works out, because now it's in context of Arba Nedarim. How far do we take the concept of Nidre Shigagot? Only where it's 100% that it's Nidre Shigagot. But maybe that's the whole point. Maybe the guy is saying, oh, it would be a miracle. God should keep them. If this can make it through this Sreifa, so Enochinami, I'm giving its value to Hegdash. Maybe it means literally to make it Hegdash. Maybe that's the pshat. Kamash Balan, that we have to be Chayshish, therefore, and we're the fire should Lachonra, that it's not Nidre Shigamot. Hare Nitiyota Elu Korban, the next piece. Hare Nitiyota Elu Korban, Ach Yikatzetz. Meaning what? Meaning that Lo'olam, in other words, what are we saying? Lo yipadu, what? Never. They can never have a pidyon. That's what you're saying. Ein lan pidyon, ever. I understand, this is different than some kind of... I mean, why do you say Achi Katsetsu? How could it be that they have no pidyon? Omar bar pade, no. The beauty of this is that his language means that until such time as they're actually harvested, they should remain in a state of koning. Therefore, even if I give money to buy them back, they immediately become kadosh again. Because I said, as long as they're still not kotzutz, there's no way to be nena from them. That's what I said. You lazy bums. You don't get the thing done. It's usur b'ana. Oh, it's still there? Oh, you thought you could buy it back? No way, it's kadosh again. So there's nothing you can do. That's why he's saying, achi katzetsu. After they're niktzatz, then I'm saying, then yesh lan pidyon, yes? So until they're niktzat, they're chozrot v'kotshot. And if you went ahead now and you were put on, again, they would be chozrot v'kotshot again. I don't care how many times you give the money to Hegdash. Every time, until they're niktzatzin, they become asurim again. Only when niktzatzu, after they were kotzutzin, then you go ahead and you're put on pa'amachat. Now they remain like every other thing. So now you may have given ahead a pidyon, v'dayo, and that is sufficient. That's what it means. It doesn't mean la'olam inlan pidyon. The inlan pidyon means that it doesn't help to be poor to them until he katsetsu. That's the meaning of his statement, says Barbara. Ula amar, kivan sheniktetsu, shuv ein podam. Ula says, no. When he says aji katsetsu, what he's saying is that once they are harvested, they no longer are usher. You don't have to be po to them. Why would you have to be po to them? You said until such time as they're niktzatzim. Period. So once they're niktzatzim, they're niktzatzim. So why do I need to be po to them at all?
Because of the
kedusha. What do you mean? Why do you have to be po to them? What happened to the kedusha? How does kedusha disappear? The kedusha is ban. Where did it go away? I suppose you think you could say to a woman, be my wife for the day, and then after the day, everything's fine. No get, everything's okay. Boy, that would make life easy, right?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
She, I remember this? It was on for a season or something. In the early 60s, the job, occasional wife. This guy needed a wife for his job. His neighbor.
I wasn't. There was no TV here in the 60s.
It's interesting. The Shia have a concept like that. The Shia have a temporary wife.
Well, but you need to say goodbye.
What?
You need to say goodbye by SMS.
Goodbye.
Okay, but well, over here you wouldn't even have to say goodbye. That's because of SMS has a din of a get, according to that. This was new psak yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, they came up with a Sharia psak. You could send three SMSs and it has a din of a get.
No.
Yes. Yes, you have to say three times, you're out of my house, and then you're divorced. Shiloh was, whether an SMS has a din of a get, is it? See that? So they paskened in Egypt yesterday that it's a kosher get.
How can
they call
if it's SMS? He can't hit her three times. So how
is it possible? Oh, that was their shayla. So apparently you can hit her.
She has to keep it. She has to keep it in order to show that she does.
She better have a Bluetooth to be able to download it.
Unbelievable. What about email?
SMS call. Yeah. Get an email. Anyway, so but can you do this? What are you saying? Get? That's what you're saying. You're saying today it's kodesh, tomorrow it's not kodesh. You do that to a woman? Says Ula. Wait a minute. Says Rav, I'm on behalf of the ruler. What's the comparison? I understand. We're not talking about. He didn't make the talis a korban to bring on them his bayah, kedushat kedushat aguf. He made the peiros. I mean, a woman is kedushat aguf. It's a din in the woman. It's not a din in dummim. It's not a kinyan of value. Right? So the same thing is true about a behema, that you make behema kodesh kedushat aguf. But over here, how can it be kedushat aguf? It's kedushat dummim. Kedushat dummim pakap ichdi. You can get rid of kedushat dummim without anything. It's only kedushat aguf lo pakap ichdi. So therefore, if you say something should have value for Hagdish for the next 30 days, why can't, after 30 days, why can't it go away?
But the Kaddish of women does have an actual value. So there's a level of value that you can be less than.
You don't own any value in that woman.
That in order to be the Kaddish, it has to.
That's
be
the way in which the Kinyan is done.
But, okay,
you could also write a star. You could also sleep with her. I mean, that's not value. Okay. Let's leave this here, and let's, well, it depends what she looks like. So let's first, before we go on tomorrow, which, by the way, did you arrange by Sabbat Joshua Ben Avamal?
He was feeling, he had a bad cough, and that's why he's keeping low.
So he does not want us to come tomorrow?
As of yesterday,
no. Okay. So then tomorrow night, Bezrat Hashem, we will continue. But let us now first hear the machlokas rishonim as to how to understand the sugya. The pashtus of the sugya is that padan chozrot u'kedoshot is not an argument. Ula's agreeing with that. The only difference between bar pada and ula, and this is how the Rajma understands it, the only difference between bar pada and ula is this issue. Whether kedusha is paka bichdi or not, whether kedusha is donim, and whether you need to go ahead and to be poda it afterwards. And that's the simple meaning of the sugya. Now there is a completely different approach here, which is brought by the Ran, in the name of Rav Moshe Kartavi, in which he says that Bar Pada and Ula are arguing about both things, and that actually they're interdependent. Bar Pada says the reason that they're closer to Kodesh is because he holds Kedusha is Lopak Abichti, and the two things are interrelated. Because he's saying, what is the point of saying Achi Katsetsu? Since I hold that Kedusha is not Pak Abichti, Achi katsetsu cannot mean, and then they're not kaddish. So what does it mean? It must mean that I intend for it to remain kaddish, no matter what it is that you do, and no matter if you buy it back or not, it's going to be chozrot v'kedoshot. Whereas according to Ula, what do you mean, why did he say it? He said it because he didn't want to have to be poted afterwards he katsetsu. Since kedusha is pakavichti, I can define the time for which it's kaddish. Therefore, the guy didn't say anything extra to imply that it would be not able to take opinion on it. So why would I say, therefore, that it would be chozrot u'kedoshot? So when it says eman pidyon, it has to be saying not that you cannot be poda it, but rather it doesn't need a pidyon. Right? Meaning after it's kotzeitz. That's exactly the finish of the Mishnah. Ein lahem pidyon, there's no point in being part of them, because since I gave the time for it to be up at ketzitza, pidyon is not necessary. Therefore, the two approaches of Bula and Bar Pada are totally different approaches in the Mishnah. So according to the Rajba, we both are agreed. Ula and Bar Pada are agreed that the meaning of Ein lahem pidyon means there is no way to be poted because it will be chozer to kedoshot. And there's a side machlokas, which is not in the Mishnah at all, has nothing to do with the pirush of the Mishnah, about what the din would be after the nitzatzor, whether you need pidyon or you don't need pidyon. However, according to the other approach, the question is, what does the Mishnah mean when it says ein lahem pidyon? Bar Pada, who holds that a person cannot say something should be kadosh only until such a point, has to understand, therefore, the meaning of saying at such a point is that it'll always be kadosh again, so it won't help to make a pidyon. That's the meaning of ein lahem pidyon. Ula says no. He said up until a point, because afterwards it won't need a pidyon. And that, in fact, is the meaning of the Mishnah. Ein lahem pidyon means, what's the point of a pidyon? He already put in a time limit, and it's kedushas damim, which will be parka bichti. Okay? Two different approaches. Two different approaches to the Mishnah. Review.
Sorry, I forgot to mention the other shot, the Dina Malkut Adina, which makes twice not Dina. So that one shot that we learned was the Tosfos that Ruvan agrees with, which is love it or leave it, in which case it would not apply to Eretz Yisrael. The other shot is that the meaning of Malchut, by definition, includes the acceptance, the social acceptance, which is Mechayev everyone. That's how it becomes Malchut. In which case, you cannot, as an individual, break away from the overall social context. Like we see that such thing as Chamei Kahal and so on. But if that's the case, it would imply.
Such a thing as?
Chamei Kahal.
Chamei Kahal.
So there's such a, if that would be the case, it could be Jew and Eretz Yisrael as well. The consent, societal consent, creates Din and Malchut Adina, not the power to say, love it or leave it.
No green lahar again la karamim la mochasim shi truma va pishe na truma chin cho beta mela ka pishe nan cho beta mela be chamay omrim ba kol no green khot fi beshvua u be tele omrim af beshvua be chamay omrim lo yftach lo benela u be tele omrim af yftach lo be chamay omrim ba mashu mediro u be tele omrim af ba ma she eno mediro keitsa omar lo emor koni mishti nenetli ve omar koni mishti u banay nenibli but how can you swear to a mochesa? Omer Shmuel dinet malchut adina. Omer Elchinen Omer Efkan Omer Shmuel b'molches she'ino kitzba. Devei Rabbi Ami Omer b'molches omed meila she'in shabet amelach apa pishenan shabet amelach heichinada. Omer v'amer mamer rab b'omer yeasru perot olam alayim enan shabet amelach. So what good is that? Given the Omer Yasru Yisrael, I call Peri Alma. No, no, the Omer Hayom. I need the Omer Hayom, I'll become a Mimoches. No, the Omer Belibo Hayom. But his Motzi Bisvatav Stam. Alpha P normally Sviral and Dvarim Shevlevin and Dvarim. Legabe Onasim Shiny. Beit Shamay Omrim Bako Belobishvua. Beit Shamay Omrim Bameshu Madiro. Beit Elel Omrim Av Bameshu Eno Madiro. Ketsa. So what are we saying now? Furthermore, what? But then Beit Shammai Omrim Bechol No Dream Chutz Mi Bishvua Ibu Madat Peticha. Truth is, Tanamat Nitin Ben Noder Lodiach HaKochan De Beit Shammai, that even there you can't be Poteach. Tana Bright Ha Bishvua Lodiach HaKochan De Beit Yilel, that even with a Shvua you can be Poteach. Rav Ashi Amar Ochitani, Beit Shammai Omrim In She'ela Bishvua, Beit Yilel Omrim Yesh She'ela Bishvua. Hare netiyot elu korban im enan niktatzot. Talit zo korban im enan nisrefet. Yesh lan binyan. Hare netiyot elu korban ad shikatzetzu. Talit zo korban ad shtisarev. Ein lehen binyan. Lidna kidushot. What's this korban pidyon business? But I did buy lemit na seifa. Ein lehen pidyon. Which is the whole point. Tanen amireisha yesh lan binyan. Echi nadan. Omer amember ba omer im enan niktatzot hayom. The other ayam velo niktatzu. No, lo tzricha kigon deika zika nefisha. And clearly, katani lagabe talit. What do you think? Talit is reifa kaima. It must be ela kigon deika dleika zogidani deika zika nefisha. So sa'katai tachta masika daitin de lo mitzvatz lo nimishumachi kanadar, and therefore it's nidreshigagot kamash malan. Harein it yot elu korban. What is that supposed to mean? Lo olam ein podi? Omer bar podi? No, it means doesn't help. Padan chazrot v'kachot. Padan again chazrot v'kachot. Ad shikatzeitzu. Niksetzu. So then padan pamachan v'dayo. Ulama, what's the point after niksetzu? Kivan sheniksetzu shuvein podim ota. Omer le Rav Amnuna. How is that possible? Kedushas v'meichen halcha. Uma ilo amar li isha. Hayom ad ishti ulamachar I ad ishti. Minavke b'lo get. Omer le Rav, what are you comparing me? Medami kedushat amim lo kedushat aguf? Kedushat HaMim can be Paka Bechdi. Obviously, Kedushat HaGuv lo Paka Bechdi.